Thank you for being here with us today at New Beginnings Church.
Good morning. How many of you enjoyed that time of worship? And if you think that was good, come back tonight at 5:30, and that's all that's going to happen for who knows how long. And we're just going to worship ourselves till we're done. How many of you ready to hear the word? Let's hold up your Bibles and let's make our proclamation like we do each week. Say it with me, say, this is the word of God. I choose to believe it over my circumstances. I choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as you know, this is week 4 of a series called You Have Beautiful Feet. Look at your neighbor, tell him you have beautiful feet. If you don't know your neighbor, that would be weird, so don't tell him if you don't know him intimately. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, just think about it. You're sitting next to a stranger, and you look over it. Hey, buddy, you have beautiful feet. That's kind of weird. So just be careful with that. I get that statement from Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. This is what it says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We've been talking this year about each one do what?
Each one.
Y'all didn't say it like you mean it. Why don't you say it like you mean it? Each one do what?
Reach one.
Oh, much better. See, this is a participation thing, and we're going to participate. When I say something, you've got to say it back. We've got to say it loud and like we're here. It'll wake you up. So our goal this year, or the mandate that we're following this year, that the Lord handed out 2,000 years ago, was for us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? That's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is not optional. Remember, we talked about that in week 1. It's not optional. It's a mandate for every believer to go into the world and make a disciple. And so I've taken that. God said this is going to be the call to New Beginnings in 2021, the purpose of New Beginnings. And we're going to go out into the world around us, and we're going to each one reach one. Because we know the idea and thought of reaching our community or reaching our world for Christ is daunting. And so I want you to just boil it down and very simple that we're each going to reach one. And we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? One soul at a time, right? Now, I want you to remember something as you're out there trying to preach the gospel and you're out there telling people about Jesus. You can't save anybody.
Right.
So when they don't say yes, when they reject what you have to say, don't get upset. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Jesus in you. Listen, he's been rejected for 2,000 years. You ain't no different. So you just keep on. This is what we do. Paul told the church at Corinth, some plant, some water. God brings the increase. So this is your job. Plant seeds, water seed. And if you get rejected in the planting and the watering, you know what you do? The next time you have an opportunity, plant more, water more. Until one day, maybe you have the opportunity to be present when they say yes. And what a phenomenal moment that is, by the way. I've had that opportunity several times. As a matter of fact, I recalled, this morning as I was preaching this message in the first service, a time recently in the last 6 months, I sat in my office with a young man who had struggled with drug addiction. And really just throughout his adult life, just struggled with addiction. And he's like, I want to be free. And that day in my office, he accepted Jesus as his Savior.
Amen.
Unfortunately, he never could kick the habit. And that habit wound up killing him. But you know what? When I thought about him dying, I thought, well, at least I know where he's at.
Amen.
Because I can take you back to the day that he sat in my office and he said yes to Jesus. And what does the Bible say in Romans 10:13? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be
saved.
So as we embark on this journey together, we're reminded that it's the vision of New Beginnings to do what? Y'all butchered that. The vision of New Beginnings is to reach. There we go. So our goal, we're gonna take that this year, and we're going to go out and reach. But we're also going to have to remember that we can't neglect the teaching either. We can't neglect the growing, right? Now, as I began to study, as I began to think about this series, week number one, I talked to you about the fact that we're called to go. The Great Commission. Jesus said, when asked his reason, his purpose for being on the earth, he said this, I came to seek and save all who were lost in sin.
Glory.
When he resurrected and he called his disciples together, he said, hey, all right, here's the plan, guys. You're going to go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples. I want you to know that wasn't just for those 11 guys. That was for those 11 guys and the 11 guys they would reach and on and on down to 2021 when I'm telling the church, guys, the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. It's been God's plan from the beginning. It's God's plan today, and it's never going to change. We have to go. Week number two, I told you that in our going, we have to remember, keep in mind, always keep in mind, the importance of now. You know, we usually say, well, God, can I do it the next time I see them or maybe another day? I'm just not up to it spiritually today. I'm not feeling strong today. I'm not feeling very confident today. I just don't have it today. You know that today's the only today that you are guaranteed? When you woke up and breathed, you went, all right, I got this one, at least for part of it. But tomorrow, they said, the Bible says tomorrow's not a guarantee for anyone. And so, listen, today's the day of salvation. Now is the time. And we have to remember from the story of Esther, right? Esther, I told you, Mordecai, her cousin, tells her, Esther, God has called you to the position you're in for such a time as this day, that if you don't open your mouth, if you don't say something, then we may not be here tomorrow to have a chance to say anything. I want you to understand, today is the day. The urgency is now. We're called to go. We're called to go now.
Yes.
And then thirdly, last week I told you, we're called to go in unity. That we, the church, have to all jump into this thing together in one accord. Now, do we all have to agree on every point? Do we all have to agree? We have to do it. Well, I'm gonna take them through the Romans road. I'm just gonna give them my testimony. How you do it is irrelevant. We don't have to agree on the method. We have to agree on the message. Do we agree on the message?
Yeah.
Jesus came. He died. He resurrected, and he's back in heaven. And it's good news. He's living. He's praying for you right now. Right? And we can all agree on that. And because we can agree on that, we can be in unity.
Amen.
You and your husband, you and your significant other don't always agree on everything. If you did, that would be strange. My wife and I are like polar opposites when it comes to likes and dislikes and things like that. Now, we really love one another, but I want you to know she's weird. And she probably thinks I'm weird. But we've decided at some point 35 years ago that we're going to walk together.
Yes.
That's called unity.
Right.
We don't agree on everything, but we agree that we're going to walk together. And we as a church have agreed we're going to walk together. Amen?
Amen.
Today, we're going to take the going and the urgency, and we're going to take the unity. And as I began to study, God, what would be the mess? What would be the word for this last and final week? And it was really this: that in our going, you know what's happening when we go? We grow. We grow.
That's good.
And we really do. And so, and I said, well, God, then if we're growing when we're going, and we're to reach and teach, right? That's our vision here at New Beginnings. Then is there a is there a way to quantify? Is there a way to know if someone is spiritually mature? You know, there really is not a way to know. I can't look at you and go, man, you're spiritually mature. I can just tell from looking at you. The way you dress, the way you fix your hair. You can't tell by the way I fix my hair. You know, when I first got saved, I began to think, well, God, maybe it's things like memorizing the word. And I remember being a brand new believer, and I was just hungry, hungry, hungry for the word. I got saved at 35, and at 35 years old, I knew I had a lot of catching up to do, so I began to dive into the word. I began to just consume the word. And so my wife and I even had a little challenge. We would say who could memorize the most. And as smart as she is, I still would smoke her when it came to memorizing. At one point, this was no lie, I was in a seminary class years later, And I'll never forget, you know, you go to that first day in class in college, and they give you the syllabus, right? This is what we're going to learn this year. I'll never forget reading the syllabus that first day in this class, and it said you had to know by memory these 52 scriptures. And I was, at first, my heart's like, oh, geez, it's a lot of memorization. And as I began to look at them, I knew them all already. And I went, oh, this is no big deal. But I found out that even though I could memorize and could spit out scripture after scripture, it still didn't make me mature. Then, about 3 months of walking with the Lord, I was at a service one night, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues. And guess what? I still wasn't mature. I was a baby Christian. But now I could speak the word and I could speak in tongues, but I still wasn't mature. So I said, I have an active prayer life. Did that make me mature? No, now I'm just I got a lot of word. I got some tongues. I got filled with the Spirit. And I could pray. I'm still not mature. So I said, I go to church every Sunday. Maybe that makes me mature. That still wasn't it. So I said, okay, God, what is it then that makes a man or a woman mature? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, time and circumstances. Time and testing. Times and trials is what makes a person mature. If you would, turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that seminary was not the thing that made me mature, because I met a lot of people in seminary who were very smart. High IQs, no common sense. You know people like that? Could no quantum physics, but can't find their way out the door, right? James chapter 1, verse 2. Look what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you consider it pure joy when you face trials? Oh, Jesus, I am so thankful for another trial. God, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, could you set another one? Because I'm just enjoying these so much. Anybody just wake up every day with, God, just can you bring me some more? But verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And it says, let perseverance in verse 4 finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Here it is, not lacking anything. So you see what it says? It says that the trials of many kinds and the testing of our faith is what produces perseverance. And the word perseverance, that's one of my favorite words in the New Testament. It's the Greek word hupomone, and it means cheerful or patient endurance. So to make it real simple and applicable, it's to literally push against the things that are pushing against you. It's to resist the temptations, to resist the trials. It's to resist the falling away. It's to resist doing the wrong thing. It's to resist everything that will try to come against your walk with God. Anybody got stuff that wants to come against your walk with God every day, right? Time, other stuff, hobbies. I slept late. I went to bed too late. I slept too late. I couldn't have my little prayer time this morning. So now all of a sudden I feel bad, whatever. It's called perseverance. We have to push against those things. Yes. So if you need to go to bed a few minutes earlier, then be disciplined and go to bed earlier. Tell my wife that all the time. Just kidding. Perseverance. We push against the things that are pushing against us. So I began to ask the Lord. I said, well, okay, Lord, well, then what are, if you were to say, what would be the characteristics, if you will, of mature believers? What would be the things that would say, these things would tell me that I'm developing into a mature believer? I said, okay, so what are that? What are those things? So the Lord showed me three things that I'm going to share with you today. Three things that only you'll know. Nobody can look at you and go, man, I see that all over you. Only you'll know if you're operating in these three things, in these three areas. The first one is this, that you begin to live a surrendered life. James chapter 4, verse 7. I love James. This is what James says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Here it is. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Amen. That's surrender. That's saying, I'm no longer in control. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen, to begin to live the surrendered life, there has to have been a day of repentance. Now, most people in the church have the wrong idea and definition of the word repentance. We think of repentance as a time when you said you're sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I messed up again. I got to repent. That's not what that means. The word repentance is the Greek word metanoia, and it means to change your mind. There has to have been a day when you said, I'm no longer going to think the old way. I'm going to begin to think differently about the things in my life, about the things I believe and don't believe, about the way that I'm going to conduct myself, about what I'm going to do on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Amen. I'm going to New Beginnings Church because it's the best.
Yes.
See, spiritual maturity begins when you start to change your mind. You used to think a certain way, have certain behaviors, and now you've been enlightened by Jesus and you begin to think differently, act differently. You used to respond quickly to news and events, and now you're slower. You go, I'm not going to respond too quick because my typical response is always the wrong response when I respond in haste. Anybody ever do that? You respond quickly. When you respond in haste, you usually respond wrong. But if you slow down, digest what's happening around me, make sure I got the facts straight, it wasn't what I thought. It's not as bad as it looks. And so now I'm going to respond differently. I'm thinking different. Also, the way that we conduct ourselves when it comes to our thoughts and feelings. Anybody in here ever have the wrong thought? Mm-hmm. Just me and this guy over here? And, okay, you too. Okay, just, everybody, is that, okay, let's be honest now, I guess. Or since a couple of people raised their hands, I guess I can be honest. Listen, we all have the wrong thought from time to time, but I want you to know, the Bible says that we're to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And so when I get having the wrong thought doesn't make you a bad person. Like, geez, I am terrible. I shouldn't think that way. It's okay, you're human. We're bombarded by things around us, media and so on. And so there's a good chance you could have a wrong thought because of wrong information going in. Just don't dwell on it. Just don't hang out there, right? So don't let your thoughts and feelings control you because you should be controlling them. Change what you think about and you begin to change the spiritual direction of your life. You can't think old thoughts and grow up into the man or woman God created you to be.
Amen.
For instance, if you have a propensity to live in fear. So you know anybody that the minute they hear what possibly could be negative news. Like, don't even have the whole story yet. But the minute that they hear negative news, it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? If that's you, you may not be spiritually mature. My mother-in-law was like one of the greatest human beings to ever live. I love my mother-in-law. She lived with us for 10 years. When I tell people that, they go, your mother-in-law lived with you for 10 years, and you're still alive. My mother-in-law was the greatest human being, the sweetest, most giving and loving person you've ever met. I said, right, kids? I mean, they all loved her to death. Phenomenal human being. Her propensity, though, was to immediately go to the negative. Immediately go to fear. Something would happen and she would say, I'd start to tell her some news and it had the potential to be bad news. And so she'd say, oh boy. That was her response. Oh boy. Hold on, Granny. It's okay. And I'd finish telling her news. Oh, okay. It's okay now. But immediately wanted to jump to fear. Listen, the Bible says that God has not given us,
right,
believers, a spirit of fear.
That's it.
This is what he's given you, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. So if you're acting in a fearful way on everything, I'm not saying you shouldn't be cautious. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take precautions in your life. You absolutely should. Like, for instance, I wouldn't suggest you go out on the interstate and run across it at peak traffic times. It probably would be wise. I did that one time, by the way. I was in at a job in another state, and I wanted to work out, and I was, my hotel was on this side of the interstate, and the gym was on the, I could see the gym, and I just, I got to get there, but the exit was like 3 miles away. I'm like, I got to get over that interstate. So I'm looking, man, it's traffic both ways, and I'm like, I can do this. I was younger and stupider at the time. So I jumped the fence, and I ran across the first three lanes. I got to the median, and a cop stopped. He's like, are you crazy? Well, at the moment, yes. So he gave me a ride to the gym. Anyway, don't suggest doing that because that's not good. Or maybe you have a propensity to blow up. The minute that you hear news that could seemingly make you angry, you just blow up. That's it. I've had enough. And, you know, you just lose your cool every time something bad happens or something happens that you don't like. Like me. I walk in and my dogs have had a field day using the bathroom all over the house. Like, okay, that's it. I mean, I lose my mind, right? Well, when that happens, I'm not acting in a Christian way. I'm not acting in a spiritually mature way. Why? Because I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says that, God says that I've given you as the physical manifestation of myself in you is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And he keeps saying, self-control, self-control. I'm like, okay, I got you. Leave me alone. I mean, I heard you the first time. You know, that's the fruit. That's the physical manifestation of God in us. And so if I'm acting in such a way that does not line up with that, I'm not acting in a spiritually mature way. James chapter 1, verse 22. Turn with me. James 1, 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How many of you have forgotten what you look like? I'm sure you could all describe yourself. You know what you look like because you look in the mirror. Well, the word is the same way. We can't look at the word and just read it and walk away, forget all about it. We must remember what it says and do what it says. Look what it says in verse 25. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The surrendered Christian is one that does what the word says and gets to experience what the word says they will experience. In other words, they grow up into maturity because they trusted God and did what he said instead of following their own thoughts, desires, agendas, and feelings. Listen, my attitude or the attitude of the surrendered Christian is always not my will, but yours be done. Now imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was to be arrested, and he knows what's coming. He's God, right? He knows what's about to happen, and he's saying, God, if there's another way. And how many of you ever prayed that prayer? God, has got to be another way. God, is there an alternative route to take? And he says, no, this is pretty much it. And the attitude is either one or the other. The first attitude is, you know what? I'm not walking that path. I'm going to do my own thing. You get to choose that. It's called free will. Or you get to say, you know what? I'm gonna follow your way. Not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
I'm gonna go your way. Even though I'm not really crazy about the idea, but here's the thing. On the other side of that idea is the blessing of God, right?
Yes.
But only the surrendered Christian's gonna get there.
Come on.
It's a surrendered life. The second characteristic that the Lord showed me was, besides a surrendered life, is a sacrificial life. Romans 12:1. Let me read it to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul here, starting Romans 12, coming out of 11 chapters of Romans, puts the word therefore right there at the beginning of a chapter. Now, remember, I've said this many times. I want you to remember it. Anytime you see the word therefore at the beginning of a chapter especially, you must stop and ask yourself, God, what's this
therefore?
Y'all are so good. So what it's there for is to remind the reader to look back over these 11 chapters and be reminded of all that Jesus did on your behalf. What did Jesus do? Well, he came, walked the earth, died for you, even though you deserved death. He gave you eternal life instead. He exchanged his life for your life. He gave you grace when you really deserved death. I mean, like, just on and on and on. 11 chapters of that. And then he gets to, therefore, I urge you, implore you, beg you, listen to me. Please listen up. Look at this closely, brothers and sisters. In view of all that we just talked about, and all that I just wrote to you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Listen, what does a living sacrifice look like? Completely sacrificed follower of Jesus does not live for self, but lives for God every day. I am dead to self and alive in Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the sacrifice life of Christ. And the only way to get there is you first got to surrender. Amen. And then you got to wake up every day and say, I'm living for you. Even if it means I got to go to a grave to prove it, I'll go to a grave. Do you know that the 11 disciples all died a martyr's death? Matter of fact, Peter is the one that stands out the greatest. They took his wife, historians wrote that they took his wife and they said, deny Jesus or we kill your wife. He looked at his wife. I want you to get this. Loved his wife. Looked at his wife and said, I will see you again. You think he didn't believe in what he was following for the last 3 years? I want you to understand, he lived the sacrificial life right to the end. And I believe that if we're going to really be followers of Jesus, we have to be willing, literally willing. Now, I hope that God never calls me to literally lay my life down, but if he does, I have to be willing to go. Would I deny him or would I stand up? Will I allow peer pressure to get me to follow the crowd or will I stand up in the crowd and speak out? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing glory to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in all my activities, can I put the name Jesus on them and still feel good about it? Will I still do it if I can't put his name on it? Would I be comfortable doing them if Jesus were sitting next to me? Listen to me. He's sitting next to you. He's with you everywhere you go. He's always with, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere and in everything. You ain't hiding nothing. So you have to, if you're going to be a sacrificial living Christian, am I willing to continue to live the life that I'm living and do it knowing that he would not really approve? The more mature you become, the more sacrificial you'll be. And lastly, besides a surrendered life and a sacrificial life, I believe, don't turn me off, just listen, is a successful life. I know what you're thinking, hang on. Turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, go to verse 5. This is God speaking to Joshua and the children of Israel just before they go into the promised land, is what he says. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Listen, I'm not talking about success like you're thinking right now. I'm not talking about success like the world measures success. I'm talking about success the way God measures success, in a way that we begin to mimic the life of an overcomer. How many of you know somebody, a Christian, who walks the Christian walk and always seems to be struggling and under attack? Don't, if they're next to you, do not point at them. Do not elbow them. That's you, bro. You better listen. You know, I know Christians are always under attack. They're always struggling, literally struggling with temptation. They're struggling with the same sins over and over. They struggle with spiritual discipline. They just seem to struggle. I want you to understand that was not and is not Jesus' idea of abundant life on the earth. He said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's not it. Struggling every day with the same things over and over is not overcoming. It's not succeeding. God tells Joshua in these promises, he's preparing them for their journey into the promised land. Now, why did he if you go back and you read Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and you'll see all these same promises spoken through Moses from God over and over and over. In 40 years, God kept speaking them over and over and over. Why did God here have to remind them on this day of these things? God bless you. Because they were about, when they crossed that river that day, they were about to enter into a period of time of struggle, a period of time that they would be in the fight of their lives each and every day. I want you to know, as Christians, many times when we walk out these doors, we're in the fight of our lives. And you need to be reminded of the promises of God. Overcomer, listen to the promises. Promise number one from Joshua chapter 1, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. No one. Say, no one. And why you let people stand against you? Promise number two, I will be with you. Promise number three, you will inherit the land I swore to give you. You say, well, God didn't promise me land. What did he promise you? What did he promise you that you haven't taken ownership of yet? What has he promised you that you have not inherited yet? I want you to understand, it's coming. God's promises never return void. Promise number four, you will prosper and have great success. Yes, earthly success. Prosper. Anybody in here need to prosper? Amen. Only me and her in the back. The rest of y'all, I'm good. Promise number five, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And promise number six, I'll be with you wherever you go. Listen, had God not told them these promises and reminded them of these promises, when they got in the fight of their lives, they probably would have been quick to quit. You know, let's just go back across the river. We were across the river, we were safe. Across the river, we had no battle. Across the river, we were eating good. Everything was wonderful. Let's just go back across the river. God's not calling you to go back across the river. He's calling you to go forward into the promise that he has for your life. But the only way to get there is to face some battle. And the only way to face some battle is to persevere. But you got to start with surrender, right? You got to begin to live sacrificially so you can have the great success that he's called you to have. Now listen, now mixed in those six promises are five premises. The Bible does that a lot. He'll give a promise with a premise. The premise is do this so you can have that. Listen to the premises. In Joshua 1, premise number one is be strong and courageous. Premise number two, obey my words. That's pretty simple. Premise number three, don't turn to the right or to the left from the word. Premise number four, speak God's word over your life. And so, I didn't see that in there. That's what he says in verse 8. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. The word meditate means to mutter. in the Hebrew language. It means to mutter. It means to talk. It means to say it. So that's what it says. Speak God's word over your life and over your situations daily. And number five, do not be afraid or discouraged. Don't get down on yourself when you're not going to where the way things are should be. You think things should be going, or you're not where you think you should be. And don't be afraid at every time some, you know, the devil gets in front of you. Every time he raises his ugly head, don't be afraid or discouraged. Just keep moving forward. Keep persevering. Keep pressing forward. The mature Christian is one that stands on and trusts in the promises of God always.
Yes.
And when you stand on and trust in the promises of God, you will begin to overcome everything trying to overcome
Glory
you.
To God.
That is spiritual maturity. You see, the secret to success, real success, is not found in the things of the world, but instead it's found in Christ. And in Christ, for the person or people who are completely surrendered and completely sacrificial, they're completely successful, overcoming all those things coming against you. They're all signs of spiritual maturity. Jesus saved you and called you, here it is, to grow and mature.
That's right.
If your idea of spiritual maturity is coming to church every Sunday, it's going to take you a long time to grow up. Yeah. If your idea of spiritual maturity is to have a prayer once a week over dinner, it'll be a long time before you grow up. You understand what I'm saying? And so your spiritual maturity must go way beyond just a few spiritual actions. It must be you must begin to persevere through the trials and through the temptations of this life. Are you growing? Here's the question. Are you growing into the man or woman that God has called you to be? 2021, yes, is the year for each one to reach one. But I want you to get this. As we go, I believe we're growing. And as we go together, and as we go in our urgency, we're going to grow. We're going to grow as a church. We're going to become more mature body of believers because we followed and did what Jesus said to follow and do. We've all been challenged to reach one this year. But if you're not growing yourself, you cannot give to someone else what you yourself do not possess. You can't give somebody what you don't own. And so as you grow, you'll have something to give to the person that you reach. Because you're going to be the person to help them begin to grow.
Yes.
One soul at a time, right? Would you stand with me? Church, let me ask you this morning, if you are ready to grow in your relationship with God this year as we go as a church, I want you to join me here at the altar, and I'm going to pray the promises of Joshua 1 over your life today. And we're going to receive that. Now, I want you to understand the universal symbol of surrender is what? When we see someone in church, I never forget, right, coming to a church like this the first time and people raise their hands. I looked at my wife and said, man, babe, this is a freak show. I'm not... What is this all about? I'm the leader of the freak show. I want you to understand, when you see people doing this, this is not weird. This is just people who recognize his lordship over their lives. And so if you recognize the lordship of Jesus over your life, just raise your hands. Here you go. Here's the promises I'm praying over you today. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I know that every one of us in this room have things coming against us. People coming against us, situations and circumstances that are attempting to come against us. Listen to me. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life if you believe it. I will be with you, Jesus says. You will inherit the land I swore to give you. I don't know what God has sworn to give you, but I promise you, whatever it is, it's good. And whatever it is, if you're still waiting on it, it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
That's right.
You're going to inherit the land he swore to give you. You will prosper and have great success. Anybody in here need to prosper in 2021? He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to understand, when he says never leave you, he means never. And he'll be with you wherever you go. Heavenly Father, we stand on those promises today. Receive all of them in our lives. And God, as we go, God, we don't want to go without you. As Moses said, when you said, destroy these people, you didn't want to go with them. They were obstinate. They were hard-headed. And Moses said, if you're not going with us, then I'm not going. And God, that is my attitude. And I believe that's our attitude today. If you're not going, we're not going. But God, we know that you're going. And so we're going with you, receiving your promises, receiving your call, the mandate to go and reach this world for Jesus, one soul at a time. And you said you'll be with us wherever it is we go. God, my prayer is that you protect, watch over, and lead every step as we go in obedience today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you tonight for worship night.